Lord, we thank you for making it possible. Lord, we are all here because someone chose to give birth to us. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done with our lives up to this point. Lord, for the lives that have been touched through our lives, that you have touched through our lives, and for the lives that have touched us. Lord, we recognize that from you and through you and to you are all things. And we ask that now, Lord, as we turn our attention to your word on this wonderful celebratory day, that you would be gracious to each heart and give as each heart has need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, moms, today is your day. And I want, of course, every day is your day, but this is a day we earmark to just especially say it's your day. But I want to begin with the words of a wise mother who wrote these words. Mothers and mother figures of every age and stage, God uniquely chose you to provide life, love, encouragement, and special moments. Even in your imperfections and your admissions that you are growing and learning in your role of motherhood, you are developing your relationship with the Lord. Where you are in your walk with Him may shape how your relationship with your children looks, feels, and is received over time. But that's okay, because God ultimately holds it all in His hands. Praise the Lord. And that's from our wise mother, Janice Wadley. And with that as a grand introduction, today's message is titled, Raising Others, Growing Yourself. Raising Others, comma, Growing Yourself. And our text passage is from the book of 2 Timothy. And we're looking at chapter 1, verse 5. And it reads as follows. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also, Timothy. A sincere faith is our focal point. A sincere faith is one that's rooted in trust in God. It's like a holy virus is what Paul is referring to here. It's like a holy virus. Lois had it. She gave it to Eunice, and then Timothy caught it. Today's message is really related to last Sunday's message, and it's bringing last Sunday's message about trust in God into the context of motherhood. So you could call this sort of a part two Mother's Day version of last week's message. So we could say the main idea for today is the greatest asset for motherhood. The greatest asset for motherhood is trusting in the Lord. And as we looked at last week, there is a difference between trusting God for something, which is good, and trusting in God, regardless of what the results may be. The one has to do with believing in God's ability and His power to deliver. The other has to do with believing in His character, whether He delivers the way we think He should or not. So the greatest asset for motherhood is trusting in the Lord. And I want to begin by speaking about one mother's sincere faith and how it expressed itself. It just so happens to be about my mother. But I share it not only as a tribute to her. I'm not just saying it to applaud my mom. It's also an example for all of you to follow. not in the particulars, not in the specifics. Don't hear what I'm saying and think you need to do it that way. It's not in the particulars, but as an inspiration to your faith as mothers. That's what I hope that it will do for you and grandmothers. I share it to affirm and inspire your faith in the God who knows you, who knows how you're wired, who knows how you tick, who knows where you're from and what you want and where you want to go. The God who knows you better than you will ever begin or ever be able to realize. I come from a family of 10. Mom, dad, 8 kids, 4 boys, 4 girls. My dad was the sole breadwinner of the family. And we did not have a whole lot of money, as you might imagine. But I never felt poor. And the reason I never felt poor was largely because of the way my mom handled all of us. I don't remember a time when my mom came home from shopping with new clothes just for herself. But I do remember her going to yard sales to find clothes for us. I don't remember mom ever sitting down alone to eat a meal, a takeout, or any other kind of meal alone. But I do remember us sitting down to eat without her sitting with us. I don't remember mom having activities or hobbies outside of the home. But I do remember her showing up for all my stuff. She showed up for my school play when I was a child, and I got to be the giant in Jack and the Beanstalk. That's right. That's right. It was a puppet show. And I got to walk the legs across the puppet stage. I blotched my part. I dropped the legs, at least one of them, and I had the giant hopping with one leg after. My mom, I could still see her sitting out there. She was chapping, clapping like I just hit a home run in the World Series. Later on, she came to my game when we were playing the Cowboys. Not those Cowboys. The Little League Hoyt Park Cowboys. And she cheered as though she was at a major league game. I don't remember her hanging out with her friends, but I remember her being home when our friends came over to hang out. So, moms, does any of this sound familiar? You, your mom, your grandma, I want you to hear something, moms, this morning. I want you to hear it. I don't want you to just listen. I want you to hear something this morning that you've heard before and that I know you believe. I want you to hear it and receive it freshly. You know, the Lord refreshes our faith, doesn't he? It's stuff that we've heard over and over again, but he refreshes it in our hearts and in our spirits and in our minds, whether it's a song, whether it's a verse, he refreshes our faith. So he's not always giving us something new. If you think about it, very little does he give us that's new. We've heard it in one form or another, but he refreshes it, or he refines it, or he revises it in such a way that we hear it differently. I'd like you to hear something differently this morning. I'd like you to receive it. What you've given as a mom, God sees it, God honors it, and here's the big thing, and you are better because of it. You are better because of it. We live in a different time. Where am I going with this? We live in a different time today than when my mom was raising us. It's a different world, different time. And honestly, it's a good thing that people are paying more attention to themselves, their health, their well-being, given more attention to self-care. That's a good thing. But at the same time, moms, let's not get distracted from God's view of things. Because God's view of things doesn't change with the times. God's view of things is eternal. And so even as we modify our behavior in good and healthy ways, let's stay focused on God's view of things. So as we move forward, you know, the devil, he is such a deceiver. And as you know, if the devil can't stop you from doing the right thing, then he'll step on the accelerator and push you far past what's normal or healthy. So as we move forward, let's not forget God's view of things. It's still true that whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Proverbs 11:25. It's still true that we should consider others more important than ourselves, says Philippians 2:3-4. It's still true that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The reason why I say you are better because of it, moms, you're better because of what you gave. This is an absolute. It's not an opinion. It is better to give than it is to receive. And the blessing is in the giving. Many mothers today look back on the sacrifices that they've made. They look back on the sacrifices that they've made for their children, and they see them as sacrifices of self, as if their own growth and their own dreams suffered because they poured so much into raising their kids. Now they feel a sense of urgency and desperation to reclaim time for themselves. And let me be clear, that's not wrong. Taking time for yourself is important. You should see me in my home celebrating when I see my wife just taking time to chill and just do her own thing, taking her French lessons, reading everything, wanting to explore everything. I don't know what channel the TV's going to be on any given day. Going places, looking in the local little magazine for things to do and looking at travel plans and all kinds of stuff. I tell her, I said, I call her Hungry Brain. Because she's always feasting on something else. She's excited about life. She's got this ravenous appetite for life. So I am not saying, let's be clear, I'm not saying that's wrong. Taking time for yourself is important. But here's what I want you to hear. You were also taking care of yourself when you were taking care of your family. You were also taking care of yourself when you were taking care of your family. Motherhood wasn't a loss of self. It was an investment in something eternal. A mother I know really well has famously said these words, and you've heard them, God wastes nothing. He honored your sacrifices. And now as you step into a new season, don't look at what lies behind as something that held you back. See it as something that has prepared you for now. See it as something that has prepared you for now. God was working in all of that to prepare you for now. You may now be in a place to give time to what lies ahead. And that's great. But don't think of the past as a retardation of your progress. See it as preparation for what's next. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't come to be served, the scripture says. He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And he set the example for his disciples and for us to follow. Now, it's quiet. So don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. That's just another way of saying don't misunderstand me. Why didn't I say that in the first place? Because I want you to double hear what I am saying. Here's what I'm saying. God doesn't take without leaving a blessing, sending a blessing, or reserving a blessing. God doesn't deplete us in order to enhance someone else. We can pour our lives out completely, and the Lord will replenish what is gone. He will refresh, renew, restore, replace in ways that are just astonishing. If you give, it will be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and pouring. And that doesn't just relate to your finances. It relates to your life. Moms, have you ever looked back at the sacrifices you've made and wondered if you gave too much? That your sacrifices cost too much? Or perhaps held you back, or wasn't good for the child. I'm here to tell you, honor your sacrifices. Honor your sacrifices, Mom. Honor them. And I say this with confidence to you moms, because even though I'm not a mom, I can say it confidently because it doesn't just apply to moms. It applies to all of us. I'm directing it to you this morning, moms, because it's Mother's Day. But this applies to all of us. Paul writes these words to the Philippian church. Even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice with all of you. Paul saw his sacrifices as an offering to God, something to rejoice in, not to regret. And in the same way, your sacrifices as a mother are not losses, they're investments. So don't see them as naive and don't look back with regret. Honor all you gave. Be thankful for all you gave and for all that you're giving. God wastes nothing. God uses everything, and God accepts your sacrifice as unto him. Also, keep this in mind, the value of your motherhood isn't measured by how a child turns out. It is not a referendum on your faith. You have tremendous influence, but you do not have ultimate control over the future decisions of your children. The primary value of your motherhood, of your sincere faith, the primary value, like everything else in life, like we looked at last week, the primary value of motherhood and everything else in your life, your job, your neighborhood, your car, everything that you have to deal with in life. The primary objective of it lies in the trust in God that it elicits. Because trust is the prize. Motherhood is the means, but trust is the prize, as we saw last week. That pays a guaranteed dividend. Because as we saw last week, the scripture tells us in 1 Peter 1:7 that our faith will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The last time I saw my mother, the last time I saw her alive, as her health just continued to deteriorate, continued to get worse. I sat on the bedside before her was September. She died in January. And I remember sitting on the side of her bed. She was real frail, getting weaker by the day. And I knew that I wouldn't see her again alive. I knew that her departure was imminent. So I sat beside her, and I held her hand. I looked her in the eye, and I said to her, "Mom, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate all that you've done for me over the years. I didn't always do the right thing, and I didn't always go to church. Back when I was in college, I didn't go to church. I didn't say this, but, you know, I told her I didn't always do the right things. I didn't always go to church. But I always knew you were praying for me. I always knew that you were praying for me. And I remember you saying to me, 'Danny, keep your hand in God's hands.'" She didn't have a lot of Bible verses. She didn't know the Bible real well. She taught Sunday school. She was a regular attendee at church. She was a believer, loved the Lord, had a sincere faith. But she didn't have a whole lot of verses to offer me. But she was praying for me. And she said to me, "Keep your hand." Whenever I was going back, I'd come from Michigan State, come home for the weekend. I'm getting ready to go back. And she said, you know, she's always laughing at me and joking about my fraternity paraphernalia and how cool I was and all of that. But she would always grab me by the hand and say, "Danny, keep your hand in God's hand." And she would stick a couple of dollars in my hand and say, "This is just to keep the ghost off you." The ghost means you broke, you know. So this is to keep the ghost off you. So I told her, I said, "Thank you, Mom, for all that you did for me." And she smiled. And she took my hand and she smiled and she said, "Danny, I just wish that I could go back and do it all over again." 8 kids. And I'm one of them. She wants to go back and do it all over again. She said that more than once. She didn't regret her choice. There was no resentment, no remorse about her choice. Certainly about the way she parented, there were things that she would have done differently. But she had a sincere faith and a sincere trust in God. She was saying she'd do it all over again because she loved us. And love is never wasted, brothers and sisters. Love is never wasted, even if it isn't reciprocated. Love is never wasted, even if it is rejected, even if it is not reciprocated. When it's launched from a sincere faith, it makes the giver better. Not just that it pleases God, but when it is launched from a place of sincere faith, it makes the giver better. If there isn't faith, it makes the giver bitter and resentful. So when it is launched from a place of sincere faith, it makes the giver better. And I know one day I'm going to see my mom again, because as I said, she's a believer. And I believe she's going to be a well-decorated saint. Because God never forgets. God will not forget your service, the scripture says. God never forgets. He's not like people. He doesn't forget. And if it helps to visualize this, think of every act of faith as a keystroke recorded in a vast cloud database. In this age of technology, it's easier to believe that God won't forget anything because we've got machines and we've got technology that doesn't forget. So just imagine every act of faith, every act of love pushing a keystroke and recorded in a cloud database, always stored, always retrievable with a simple click. Let that idea settle in. I know the Lord won't forget her service. I know He won't forget her love. I know He won't forget the prayer she prayed. I know He won't forget the sacrifices she made. She didn't waste her life, she invested it. And you moms have invested your lives, and the return in glory is going to be something to see. On earth, my mom was loved by many, but she was unimpressive to most. But one day, the glory she's wrapped in will make her unrecognizable. Moms, I want you to hear this loud and clear. Your work matters. Your love matters. Your sacrifices matter. And just like my mom, you're investing in something eternal. And here's the kicker. You don't have to be a perfect mom to be an excellent one. And your child doesn't have to be a perfect child to be a great kid. Because if they did, there wouldn't be any great kids. And there wouldn't be any excellent moms. And by God's redeeming power, because the Lord is a redeemer, amen? By God's redeeming power and grace, He made you perfect for each other. Your zig was for their zag. Let your sincere faith bless you with confidence in your motherhood, in the choices that you made in the past, in the ones you'll make today, and in the ones you'll make.